We'll read from Matthew's account of this event. Matthew chapter 21, verse 9. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And then also from St. Mark chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I enjoyed in the last few days having all four of the Gospels side by side and reading of this event and how you get different perspectives. And it reminded me of how when there is an amazing event happens and people that are watching give perhaps a different perspective, a different account of what they saw. And so it helps to get a complete picture of what happened when you talk to more than one person. These are not conflicting reports. It seems to me, I was blessed with three older brothers, and it seems to me that one of them was told by a college professor that the Bible was full of contradictions, and I think he went looking for them, but he found what the psalmist said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Again, I have three older brothers. You can try to figure out which one that was if you want, but either way, we find that the Gospels all share a point of view that help give us a good picture here. And we understand that Jesus gave instructions to two of his disciples to go, and they were going to find this colt. And it says that they found him where two ways met. And I couldn't help but wonder, you know, the Lord finds us where two ways meet. Either we're going to serve him or we're not. But nonetheless, I found all kinds of different things here when I was studying. But nonetheless, they found that colt, and he had told them, if any man stops you and asks you what you're doing, well, just tell him the Lord has need of it. And that's what they did. And also, couldn't help but think, what would happen if the Lord, if I possess something and the Lord says I have need of it, would I be willing to give it up? I hope so. But nonetheless, they came and they brought that colt, and they said that there were those who went before and those that followed after that said, that proclaimed him king. And I guess it was a custom of that those days to put down your clothes and palm branches of one that you wanted to proclaim king and confess allegiance or agreement with that one. And that's what they did to Jesus. They needed a king, the people of God did, but they maybe didn't understand exactly why, because they were fixed on the idea that there would come a king that would deliver them from Roman bondage. In fact, if I recall, Pilate confronted Jesus before his crucifixion and asked him if he was the king of the Jews, and Jesus said, well, that's what you say. But he says, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight? And they didn't fight. And another time, even after his resurrection, before his ascension in the book of Acts, I think it's verse 1:6, where they asked Jesus, the disciples do, well, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still looking for a king in this life, or in this world, to deliver them. The Lord told them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which God has placed in his own power, or his own authority, or his own timing. We can tell times and seasons. We're trying to chase away winter, aren't we, so we can have spring? And I wish someone would tell the weatherman, or whoever that is. But we have beautiful flowers coming up in front of our house that we always anticipate spring coming, and I'm sure it's there. But the Lord has certain times and seasons that are in his own power and his own authority. And it was not time for an earthly kingdom, but rather to set up a heavenly kingdom. A kingdom that's supposed to be in our hearts. Isn't that right? But I couldn't help but wonder also who was in the crowd. Some before, some after. Maybe some were there for the loaves and the fishes, do you suppose? Some had seen how he had supplied food in abundance for thousands of people, working with maybe five loaves and two small fishes, or was it five fishes and two small loaves? Either way, the Lord doesn't really matter. I know that. He multiplied it and he fed the people. And maybe those that came along and thought, you know, I can get something out of this. Maybe there were those. John, in his gospel, says that because they were close by to Bethany, that many followers were those that had remembered his raising of Lazarus from the dead. They had seen that miracle, and they had followed along. In fact, I think he even, if I can find that, because I thought it was quite interesting that the Pharisees even realized that they were fighting a losing battle with this great crowd, because it says, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how we prevail nothing? Behold, the whole world has gone after him.'" Well, I wish the whole world would go after him. But we can. Make sure that we go after him. But perhaps there were those that had seen miracles, been fed. Maybe they were among them. Excuse me. But just prior, as he went through Jericho, we remember that he encountered that blind man, Bartimaeus, a man that stood by the wayside begging, that cried out to Jesus, "Lord, Jesus, thou son of David." He recognized him as a king, didn't he? "Have mercy on me." And there were those that, as we know, tried to quiet Bartimaeus down, but it says he cried all the more, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the Lord called him forward. Said, "Bartimaeus, what would you have me do that I might receive my sight?" Well, the Lord healed Bartimaeus. He didn't just heal him of his blindness. He made him whole. He made him entire. He made him complete. He saved Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus stepped forward as a beggar, but he followed him as a believer from then on. Didn't need his beggar's clothes anymore. Maybe Bartimaeus was there. Maybe Zacchaeus was there. He was also one that was converted in Jericho. You remember Bartimaeus? Zacchaeus. I've always kind of liked him because it says he was a small guy. And, you know, I grew up, I was the smallest kid in school. And there's some advantages to being little, by the way. You can sneak in and out of places that no one else can. But Zacchaeus, he was a small man, wanted to see the Lord, so he ran ahead, you remember? Climbed up in the sycamore tree. The Lord came by, stopped and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. I need to go to your house today." And Zacchaeus immediately shows signs of his repentance, doesn't he? When he determines that to repay all those that he had wronged. And the Lord saved Zacchaeus that day. Maybe Zacchaeus was among these that followed. I have to tell you, I had an experience, I think it was in 2018, when Brother Wayne Butler and I were traveling in Romania. We were called to a room, to a home of a man who was sick, and we anointed and prayed for him. I don't remember specifically so much what we did or said, but other than we prayed for him. But it's very common for us to read Bible verses. But this man was in bed. He had been sent home from the hospital. There was nothing more the doctors could do for him. And there he lay in bed. He weighed about 80 pounds. His wife didn't know what to do. She was distraught. But we prayed for him. And we were, again, I was back there just before COVID. And in fact, we got back to America just, I think, 2 weeks prior to the whole world being shut down. But nonetheless, on that trip, we were visiting a church that we normally visit. And a man came forward to the pulpit and began to give his testimony. I did not recognize this man, and he I happened to be sitting in a chair. It was very tight quarters there, right next to the pulpit. And partway through his testimony, the interpreter was helping me understand. But pretty soon he put his hand on my shoulder, and then he put his arm around me. And I thought, well, who is this guy and what's going on here? Well, that was that man that we had prayed for. The Lord had healed him. Strong. Whole, you could see. But apparently within 2 days he was sitting up in his bed after we prayed for him. And the Lord did this, by the way. Didn't have anything to do with me. But and then his wife said he began to eat. And by the time we saw him, he had gained his strength. And I thought of this because I received a video the other day from him in a little town called Radovan of about 2,000 or 3,000 people. And there he was singing a song. And Brother Marion, I got to tell you, he can't sing very well. But he was giving praise to God. And I thought, you know, Brother Marion, he would have been here. He would have been one of those that was praising God and following, maybe even leading the way. Where would you have been? Would you have been one of these? Would you have been a follower? Only way you can know is if you're a follower today. But those perhaps were different people would follow him, and they proclaimed him king, and they said, Hosanna, which apparently means save now. Save now. And again, the Pharisees wanted to silence them, but the Lord said if these would hold their peace, why, the very stones would cry out. God's very creation cries out. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The very creation cries out the glory to the glory of God, to the majesty of the one who in the beginning spoke those words and created the heavens and the earth, that looked down upon that darkness, the chaos, and the confusion of what he saw, but he just simply spoke the word as the Spirit of God began to move. And he said, let there be light, and there was light. That same God, if we don't praise him, his creation will cry out, and does. I've never really been a part of a great celebration, but I was reading that there was a celebration in Portland here. It actually happened back in June the 5th, 1977. The sports team here in Portland, Oregon, won a championship. And there was quite a celebration there when the final score arrived and the team won. And I don't really remember so much, but I'm sure there was probably a parade in the days that followed that celebrated that championship. But I guess I was a part of a celebration on that same day, June the 5th, 1977. Because I sat in a gospel meeting in the back of the Roseburg Church. And at the close of that service on that very day, I stepped out in the aisle and came forward and prayed, and the Lord forgave me of my sins. And I had this beautiful girlfriend, and she came forward behind me and prayed, and the Lord saved her. And that beautiful girlfriend is even more beautiful today, and she's my wife. But the Bible says that there is joy in the presence of the angels of heaven over one sinner that repenteth. There was a celebration in heaven. I didn't know that, but I know that God's word said there was. And, you know, you and I can be a part of that celebration. You could be a part if you don't know that your sins are forgiven. There could be a celebration in your honor in heaven. You could move the hand of God, and he could save your soul, and he could change your life. He could make you whole, and you could set off a celebration in heaven. Imagine that. And you become a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you ready I just love asking that. Are you ready? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know you can know His Spirit can bear witness with your spirit? You can know that you're His child. And we have promise of future celebrations because the Lord is coming again. There's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound. There's going to be a shout of an archangel. And those that have died in Christ are going to leave their graves. And then those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with our Lord. And the writer of Revelation talks about that. He talks about a rejoicing in heaven because the marriage of the bride has come. Why? What a celebration that's going to be. A 7-year celebration of a marriage supper where the Lord Himself will serve us. You can be a part of that celebration. Jesus came once, and we see Him here on this occasion, this event, riding on that small colt, peaceful, only doing good. But again, the writer of Revelation talks about another time when He is going to be riding a white horse, and the saints are going to be with Him. And everyone will see Him, but the whole earth will wail because of Him, because now He is coming in judgment. God is a just God. Sin requires that a penalty be paid. But for you and for me right now, today, that penalty has been paid when Jesus hung on the cross and died for our sins. We can know that our sins have been forgiven. It's most important that we know that we've been born again. Right now, today, you can know for sure. And it is most important that we do know today so that we're ready for the rapture of the church, so that we are ready to ride back with the Lord as He comes back as conqueror and king. And it says that every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Things in heaven, things of the earth, things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all to the glory of God the Father. That's going to be a celebration. I want to see you there. I want us all to make it. We can cry today, even this morning, Hosanna. Lord, save me now. Lord, save me now. You can set off that celebration in heaven over just that one that prayed and the Lord save you. This day could mark a day like Bartimaeus experienced, or like Zacchaeus experienced, or like all of those worthies of old, and all of many here that sit here today look back on a day that they know their sins are forgiven. Well, a friend of mine asked me one time, do we need to know the day? And I said, boy, how could you forget the day? If you can't remember the date, you'd at least remember a moment in time where the Lord changed your life. How could you forget that? It'll be a day unlike any other day. A day that I point back to nearly 47 years ago, but it just seems like yesterday. The Lord changes lives even today. He is mighty to save, the song says. Strong to deliver. The word says that He will save to the uttermost all those that call upon Him. He will completely deliver you today as you answer the call of God. We pray as we sing the song of invitation. We will have a chance to pray. Many have stepped out and come forward even to these very altars. The Lord has changed lives, and we pray that the Lord will do that for you this morning. God bless you.